जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी, यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजना, यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजना, यमुना तीरावन चारी, यमुना जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जायामुदीरयेत्। नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवतीरुत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवती नैष्टकी। कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः। नमो पंकजनाभाय, नमो पंकजमालिने, नमो पंकजनेत्राय, नमस्ते पंकजांग्रे। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 4 चैप्टर 8 चैप्टर एंटाइटल ध्रुव महाराज लीव्स होम टेक्स्ट नंबर 36। अतापि मे विनीतस्य शात्रं घोरमुपेयुषः सुरुच्या दुर्वचो बाणी न भिन्ने श्रयते हृदि। अतापि मे विनीतस्य शात्रं घोरमुपेयुषः सुरुच्या दुर्वचो बाणी न भिन्ने श्रयते हृदि। अतापि मे विनीतस्य क्षात्रं घोरमुपेयुषः सुरुच्या दुर्वचो बाणी न भिन्ने श्रयते हृदि।
चादुर्वचो बाणे निक्षयति हृदि। शात्रं घोरम् उपेश रुच्या दुर्वचो बाणे न भिन्नेशयते हृदि.
माताजिस्
तथापि मे अभिनीतस्य क्षात्रं घोरम् उपेश रुच्या दुर्वचो बाणे
Atapi, therefore, me, my, avinitasya, not very submissive, kshatram, the spirit of a kshatriya, ghoram, intolerant, upayushaha, achieved, suruchyaha, of Queen Suruchi, Durvachaha, harsh words, Bani, by the arrows, Na, not, Bhinne, being pierced, Shrayate, remain in, Hridi, the heart. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. My dear Lord, I am very impudent for not accepting your instructions. But this is not my fault. It is due to my having been born in a Kshatriya family. My stepmother Suruchi has pierced my heart with her harsh words. Therefore, your valuable instruction does not stand in my heart. Purport. It is said that the heart or mind is just like an earthen pot. Once broken, it cannot be repaired by any means. Dhruva Maharaj gave this example to Narad Muni. He said that his heart, having been pierced by the arrows of his stepmother's harsh words, felt so broken that nothing seemed valuable but his desire to counteract her insult. His stepmother had said that because he was born from the womb of Suniti, a neglected queen of Maharaj Uttanapad, Dhruva Maharaj was not fit to sit either on the throne or on his father's lap. In other words, according to his stepmother, he could not be declared king. Dhruva Maharaj's determination, therefore, was to become king of a planet exalted even beyond that possessed by Lord Brahma, the greatest of all the demigods. Dhruva Maharaj indirectly informed the great sage Narada that there are four kinds of human spirit: the Brahminical spirit, the Kshatriya spirit, the Vaishya spirit, and the Shudra spirit. The spirit of one caste is not applicable to the members of another. The philosophical spirit enunciated by Narad Muni might have been suitable for a Brahmana spirit, but it was not suitable for a Kshatriya. Dhruva frankly admitted that he was lacking in Brahminical humility and was therefore unable to accept the philosophy of Narad Muni. The statements of Dhruva Maharaj indicate that unless a child is trained according to his tendency, there is no possibility of his developing his particular spirit. It was the duty of the spiritual master or teacher to observe the psychological movement of a particular boy and thus train him in a particular occupational duty. Dhruva Maharaj, having already been trained in the Kshatriya spirit, would not accept the Brahminical philosophy. In America, we have practical experience of this incompatibility of the Brahminical and Kshatriya temperaments. The American boys who have simply been trained as Shudras are not at all fit to fight in battle. Therefore, when they are called to join the military, they refuse because they do not have Kshatriya spirit. This is the cause of great dissatisfaction in society. That the boys do not have the Kshatriya spirit does not mean that they are trained in Brahminical qualities. They are trained as Shudras and thus in frustration they become hippies. However, as soon as they enter the Krishna consciousness movement being started in America, they are trained to meet the Brahminical qualifications even though they have fallen to the lowest conditions as Shudras. In other words, since the Krishna consciousness movement is open for everyone, people in general can attain the Brahminical qualifications. This is the greatest need at the present moment, for now there are actually no Brahmanas or Kshatriyas, but only some Vaishyas And for most part, Shudras. The classification of society into Brahmana, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas and Shudras is very scientific. In the human social body, the Brahmanas are considered the head, the Kshatriyas are the arms, the Vaishyas are the belly and the Shudras are the legs. At the present moment, the body has legs and a belly, but there are no arms or head, and therefore society is topsy-turvy. It is necessary to re-establish the Brahminical qualifications in order to raise the fallen human society to the highest standard of spiritual consciousness. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Girim Yatkripatamaham Vande Shri Guru Dinatarinam Paramananda Madhavam Shri Chaitanyam Ishwaram Namaom Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashchata Deshatarine Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. We are seeing a section where the spiritual master is instructing a disciple to do something, and the disciple is humbly, with full clarity, refusing to follow the order. And still, Dhruva is considered to be successful in his spiritual pursuits because he followed the instructions of his spiritual master. Basically, what is appreciated is, what is the main point here is not that Dhruva Maharaj was disobedient. The point that we need to remember and highlight is Dhruva Maharaj's candidness, honesty, expressing his needs, his feelings, his desires very honestly to the spiritual master. So sometimes we squelch the need to express ourselves honestly in the name of submission, and later on it comes back with a vengeance and translates as gross disobedience or blasphemy on the internet. Therefore, I always say this, that in our initial years in our Brahmachari ashram in particular and Krishna consciousness in general, we spend time in obedience, but as we grow older and we develop clarity of our personality and our nature, we spend time in negotiation. So first is obedience, and then after some years of obedience, there is negotiation. But that negotiation is not born out of pride or a desire to be independent and whimsical. But that obedience is grounded in the principle of servitude, and it is strongly rooted in an intention to please Krishna. If a devotee has clarity, then we should appreciate and applaud his decisions and his expressions rather than hunt him down for disobedience. Because nature is very important to connect to our own nature. And our devotional service is sustainable only when a devotee is situated according to his nature. In fact, when a devotee is situated according to his nature, then the need for a break, holiday, all those things go away. Otherwise, nowadays, in many places, devotees are told, take a holiday, you need a break. Like I was in Europe in one very prominent ISKCON temple, and there are many brahmacharis there. And the temple president has officially made it that every brahmachari gets once a week holiday. So I met one brahmachari. I said, "Arey, tomorrow, you look very happy today," I asked him. He said, "Yes, Prabhu, it was evening time, 7 o'clock. He said, "Yes, Prabhu, today I'm very happy because tomorrow is my holiday." I said, "Really? What will you do?" He said, "I'll go to Swaminarayan temple and come back." I said, "Wow." "I'll go in the morning, spend the time there and come in the evening." I said, "Wow, that's amazing." So he needs a holiday because he's not naturally situated. Of course, even if you're naturally situated, you need to take a break and sharpen yourself, sharpening the saw, as they say. So that's not the point. The point is, Krishna consciousness is more sustainable when people are situated according to their varna and ashram properly. And Dhruva, with all his clarity and humility, is expressing to his spiritual master that, "Please, you know, I can't follow this instruction of what you're saying. I'm a Kshatriya. I have the spirit. You know, I want to do this. I want a kingdom." And that's not considered an offense. This is very important. You know, if devotees can have clarity, and more importantly, after clarity, if they can express themselves honestly, it is a responsibility to the leadership to appreciate that and not take it as a sign of disobedience. In fact, only an insecure leader or an insecure manager will perceive threat when a subordinate is very expressive. Because, you know, when we are new in Krishna consciousness, we are taught what to think. But very rarely are we taught how to think. We are taught, you should think like this, go back to Godhead, surrender, 16 rounds, Krishna is Supreme Lord, all are demigods, everything is nonsense. This is good, this is important for us to be trained in what we should be thinking. But we also need to be trained in how to cultivate the thinking process by asking deep fundamental questions on why am I doing this? What is my nature? When we go deeper and connect to our vision and a sense of purpose, and connect to our own nature, then our service is more sustainable. Like we do this exercise, if somebody wants to do something or somebody says, you know, I want to go back to Godhead, I generally have this question. I say, why do you want to go back to Godhead? I ask why. I ask 5 times why. They say, I want to go back to Godhead because human life is the rare, most precious, and we can go back to Godhead in human life. I said, why do you want to perfect human life? Very provocative questions. Why is a very provocative question. So then the second why, he says, because, you know, Srila Prabhupada said, this is a rare effort. Why do you believe Srila Prabhupada so much? Third why, because Prabhupada is a pure devotee, the representative. So you keep going backward, why. Somewhere you are compelling that person to think deeper and not simply accept things on face value. So in the initial days, the preacher is also happy if the person who is coming to the program accepts on face value and doesn't think too much and accepts Krishna consciousness immediately in haste. And the devotee is also happy because he's been told, chant, don't think too much. Hare Krishna, be simple hearted. Prabhupada said, Krishna consciousness is simple for the simple and complicated for the complicated. So this is a very dangerous statement. We misunderstand it. You know, and we think simple for the simple means not to be thoughtful. Srila Prabhupada also said devotee should be independently thoughtful. And it is not speculation if we think deeper about our connection to scriptures, our relationship with Krishna, and the services that we want to offer. Unfortunately, when devotees are not trained how to think and they simply accept Krishna conscious statements superficially, then years later it comes back as a gnawing vacuum in the heart, which needs to be filled, and then we look for alternatives. So in the Vedic culture, there was no problem because there was Varnashram. There was a setup which facilitated people to be situated according to their nature. Unfortunately, when this is not encouraged or when this is not cultivated, then all the confusions arise. And these confusions, when they arise at a later age, it can cause havoc in a person's life. Of course, euphemistically, we may say, oh, that's okay. All ashrams are good. Krishna consciousness is wonderful. Srila Prabhupada's purports are there in the 8th canto, Bhagavatam Gajendra section, to quote how we should just fight Maya wherever we are. That's very great. That's wonderful. At the same time, if we can avoid a person getting disturbed and making major decisions in life at an advanced age, won't that be a better service to the movement? So why not, as responsible devotees, teach the people whom we are preaching to how to think rather than only what to think? By asking these questions, the five whys. Why? So a person, you know, these questions are disturbing, but they are liberating. Like once I was giving a class, and it was a 3-hour seminar, so I made it very interactive. I made groups, I asked questions. So one brahmachari came to me later and he said, Prabhuji, why do you do all this? Simple, you give class, no, for 3 hours. Why do you make us think? You just give class, we will hear, and in between the class, we will also maybe fall asleep a little bit. Thoda dabki marenge, chalega. Aap bhi kush, hum bhi kush, tension mat do humko. But our devotional service, as I said in the beginning, it is sustainable when a person is, when he buys the vision of Srila Prabhupada rather than he simply follows as a yes man. Prabhupada is selling Krishna consciousness as a compassionate preacher, but we need to buy it. It has to be mine. And you may say, no Prabhuji, but Srila Prabhupada has done everything for us, we don't have to worry. Okay, then that you should buy, that statement you should buy, that I don't have to worry, I don't have to think, I'll just do what Srila Prabhupada says. Own it up, take responsibility for that statement. That I just will follow Srila Prabhupada without asking any question. We don't have the courage to do that either. So ultimately we'll end up not taking responsibility for our lives. And then later years, the blame game starts. So therefore, it is important that we encourage and help people situate themselves according to Varanashram. Now, unfortunately, what happens in modern times, Varanashram is very misconstrued or it is not developed. There's a lot of complications. It's not as simple and straightforward as it was maybe 500 years ago. So there is a lot of complications. So therefore, we have many of these self-help gurus, motivational speakers, and they may have no Krishna in their system, but some of them, they speak on principles. And they give us a substitute for Varanashram. Because Varanashram is most healthy because Varanashram is the plate or the cup in which the sweet rice of Krishna consciousness can be drunk. Without Varanashram, we need a container to hold the precious gift, the precious nectar of Krishna consciousness. But when Varanashram is lacking, and as we are developing systems, as we are developing the Varanashram, there are thoughtful people in the world who have taught, like there are some people, I studied a few courses on personality development. There is, I don't want to take names now, but there are people who have done a lot of research from ancient Greece, and it is based on three modes of nature. And how it is connected to Vedic scripture, somebody has to do research on it, but it is connected somewhere. Somewhere all of them, you know, if you think deeply, you will see that somewhere the universal principles are in play. And there is a bonding, there is a connection between those statements that are based on principles. And I have a long list of books and teachings which are based on traditions, which are based on ancient traditions of scriptures as well as cultures. And the wisdom that comes out resonates with Vedic statements very much. So they provide us, what is say, like, you know, like we, pizza is great, but Ekadashi pizza is not the same pizza, but it is nevertheless, it's a substitute, but it is there. Ekadashi pizza is also there. Similarly, the Varanashram may not be there, but there is Ekadashi type of Varanashram in the sense, Prabhupada said, no, best use of bad bargain. So there are people who help us understand our nature. So as a responsible devotee in ISKCON, I sometimes, in my counseling sessions, I actually encourage people to read certain books. And I beg forgiveness from Srila Prabhupada. And now I'm at this stage, even DTs, I say, initially I used to be very bewildered. Am I doing the wrong thing? Am I doing the right thing? But when I understood that people are able to connect to their nature, they understand what their nature is, and then they're able to serve more meaningfully, then that gives me faith in the Krishna consciousness process. Now, some of us may say, no, but is Krishna consciousness not so powerful? Yes, it is the most powerful. We don't need anything for bhakti, for Shuddha bhakti. We don't need anything. That's why in the 64 items of devotional service, Rupa Goswami is not included Varnashram. Right? Varnashram is not included. So Shuddha bhakti, you don't need any of this. But Shuddha bhakti is what? Everything for Krishna's pleasure. It's the 19th chapter of Antya Leela where Mahaprabhu in the mood of Radharani and the Gopi is saying, Krishna, even if you reject me and go to another Gopi, I will serve that Gopi well so that you are happy. If my distress gives you happiness, then I will be more and more distressed just to give you happiness. So ideally, if we are talking about pure devotional service, then we should have no complaints either now or later. But because we have issues, we are disturbed. That means we also need Varnashram or a system that has a semblance of Varnashram, which helps us understand our nature and serve more meaningfully. If you see carefully, in our school only we can, you know, you can understand we have different natures. Like in a classroom, you know, there will be some boys, some children who are very attentive in the class. They will write all the notes, they will come first, they will always ask questions to teacher. You can immediately see they have Brahminical tendency. Some boys, you know, even at the age of 7 or 8, you can see them. As soon as the teacher wants something to be done, they will get up, they will organize, everyone should be in line, they become monitors. They have Kshatriya spirit. And there are some children who will sit and they will quietly tell the person next in the bench, why don't you buy this special pen? This is only for 4 rupees. They have business Vaishya mentality. I remember our one Prabhuji, Grihastha Prabhuji, he goes to Europe with his family. So his daughter, I met her, she is what, 11 or 12. And she told me, Prabhuji, I bought a lot of these decaf coffees, packets, which we don't get in India so much. And devotees would love it because it is not caffeine and, you know, they can offer it to Krishna and they can also enjoy. So she said, I bought a lot of coffees and, you know, I'm selling them for 7 rupees, 8 rupees. I said, but then I was thinking, she doesn't need money. But she's excited to sell and her father told me, you know, she gets a margin and she feels a sense of victory. Because they don't need money. But that's a propensity. And some students in the class, you know, before the teacher comes, they'll go, they'll rub the blackboard, they'll keep everything, they'll get water. They're naturally inclined. They have a natural propensity to serve. For these propensities are there. Now, unfortunately, it's all mixed up nowadays because of a lot of disturbed family background that people are coming from. Like I remember Anandanavan Prabhu and myself, you know, we would always stand at the book table during Janmashtami. Now, Janmashtami, after 9:30, 10 in the night, a lot of books would go during those days, 99, 2000, 2001. And I would be preaching, and both of us were fasting during that time. Nirjal, and then we are preaching, selling books. So then, you know, after 9:30, until 9:30, 10, Anandanavan Prabhu would be there. You would be chanting, and you would be also being, because his job was to manage the cash. He was a cashier. But after 10 o'clock, not only we were more busy, but I could see visibly his face was glowing. He was in ecstasy. He would always be in ecstasy. And I told him, Prabhuji, bahut ecstasy mein lag raha hai. Aray, Prabhuji, na maja aata hai. Jab paisa aata hai na, bahut maja aata hai. I said, Prabhu, but why maja aata hai? Because this money you are not getting. This money is going to temple. No, Prabhuji, paisa kisko bhi jaya, aata hai na, maja. So he's a businessman, he's a Vaishya, he loves it and he is honest about his nature and is engaging that propensity in Krishna's service. So for such people like Anandanavan Prabhu who joined the ashram but within a few months understood their nature and their compatibility and then they very graciously moved on. For some of us it is easy, for some of us it may take a few years. So with grace, with kindness and sensitivity, we need to facilitate devotees to be situated and serve according to their nature. And modern times also the confusion is also mainly because we live so much on others' dreams. You know, people try to draw mileage. Like for example, there are parents who want to draw social mileage out of their children. So they may insist that their child should become a doctor or an engineer. Extended sense gratification. So I couldn't become a doctor, but I'll ensure that my son does become a doctor, even if he doesn't want to become one. So therefore, it is important that we have clarity and we, whatever it takes, under mature leadership within ISKCON, there are senior leaders who are balanced, who are grounded and rooted in Krishna consciousness. Under their guidance, if we can get help from people who are expert in the field of discovering our nature, then we should take that help before it is too late. And at a young, otherwise, by denying all of this in the name of surrender to Krishna, we have many number of devotees who at advanced age go through pain and suffering. And then we tell them to intensify their devotional service. And when they intensify and if the issues remain, then they lose faith in devotional service as well. So that's a lose-lose situation. Therefore, it is, as I said, sensitively handled. I met some of the top leaders in ISKCON. Like Urmila Mataji's lecture I was hearing recently. Urmila Mataji is one of the top leaders in ISKCON. And when she was speaking, she spoke about one very nice book, which I had also read. And she's addressing a group of devotees in America somewhere. And then when she said that, I felt so happy. This is written by C.S. Lewis, who is a British author. He's written a book called Screwtape Letters. When it's a Christian version of Maya, how Maya traps her. So then she mentioned this book. I was very fascinated when she said that because I had also read that book. I liked that book. And then she went on to mention a few other names. And then as if anticipating what we would think, she says, I know many devotees in ISKCON, they'll get upset by mentioning these names of these books. But I don't mind what you think of me. I know I'll be banned. Some people may say I should be banned, but I declare it openly and loudly that every devotee should read books. Of course, you should read Prabhupada books. That is the foundation. There is no doubting about it. But you should read books. You should expand your mind, understand, have clarity, so that you can serve Krishna better. So when she said that, and then she again emphasized what I'm saying now about the need to have mature leadership under whose guidance we know what to read and what not to read. Like I have met very senior leaders, right from His Holiness Sridhar Swami Maharaj, who had a whole library of these books, and I knew what he was reading at what time. The Jolly Swami. Then I know Kalakanta Prabhu, who writes such beautiful poems on Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, and I know what inspires him. I've spoken to him in great detail. So there are these mature leaders who are rooted in Krishna consciousness. Under their guidance, if we can get a clarity on our personality, on our nature, how we are best suited to serve, whether we have Brahminical tendency, Kshatriya, whatever, personality profiles, there are many tests that are done by psychologists. We may say we don't need any of it, but we need ISO rating for our kitchen. See, we take help of professional standards for certain things. But if something can help us in devotional service, and something can give us clarity. I'll give two examples from the material world, positive and negative, which shows how important it is to understand our nature and be situated properly. There was a young boy in Jamaica, somewhere in the West Indies Islands. As a young boy, he wanted to become Sachin Tendulkar and Shane Warne. He was very fascinated by Sachin Tendulkar. He said, I'll become a batsman like Sachin Tendulkar. He used to dream about Sachin Tendulkar. And he used to think, will I ever get a chance to meet this great man? And I want to become a bowler like Shane Warne. Will I ever get his autograph? He used to think like that. And he used to play cricket. And his coach one day told him, okay, take this ball. Bowl. I want to see how your bowling is improved. So he ran to bowl. So when he ran, the coach said, wait. Hey, there is something special in you. You are running very well. Just one second, you run from there, go back, run fast. So he ran to bowl. The coach again stopped him. He said, no, you don't bowl, you run again. So he saw him run a few times and the coach said, give up bowling, give up batting, become an athlete. And that boy went on to become Usain Bolt, who is the greatest Olympic athlete ever in the history of Olympics. He has won maximum gold medals. And he is more popular now and more well-known than Shane Warne and Tendulkar. Tendulkar and Shane Warne are only known in South Asia and five countries other than South Asia, which play cricket at the international level. So, if you see, Usain Bolt today is a legend. He is considered as the greatest athlete, more better than Jesse Owens, Carl Lewis and all of them. So that's what Prabhupada writes in purport today. The guru, a teacher, a responsible leader, it is his responsibility to see that the subordinate discovers his nature. What Prabhupada writes in the purport, today's purport, that in the Gurukul, it was the responsibility of the teacher to understand the nature of the disciple and engage him according to his propensity. Now, translate that into modern times, it is the responsibility of the leadership who have positions of power, control and influence to encourage devotees to discover their nature and be situated properly so that their devotional service can be sustained rather than use them for their own projects. That is a better service and a more meaningful contribution, because then overall we'll have devotees who are naturally situated and we'll have very few disgruntled elements which will anyways be there. Another example, this is a positive example. Have you heard of the name Michael Jordan? In India, many people may not know. Michael Jordan is considered as the greatest basketball player. All of you know what is basketball, right? So there is a, basketball is a very popular game in America. So in America, this boy, Michael Jordan, went on to become he is considered as the greatest basketball player ever. So there is something called as NBA, National Basketball Association, and there are Hall of Fame. So he was a member of the Hall of Fame. And the 1992 Olympics, America participated. It was the American basketball team was considered as the greatest sports team that has ever come together, because all were super, super celebrities. And all the opposition teams like Croatia, Germany, all the other teams were taking part in Olympics in the basketball. More than playing against them, they were interested in taking photographs. And they wanted autographs of these players. And it was a foregone conclusion that these guys will win the basketball. America will win. It was assumed. Sawali nahi hai, they will lose. And you know what happened? They won. America won every match by a margin of more than 100 points, which was also expected because they were super, super good. Every team was thrown, defeated like a professional team defeats a school team. And this American team was such a super celebrity. Wherever they went, people were mad. They didn't stay in the Olympic village where you are supposed to stay. They stayed in a 7-star hotel, enjoying. And they practiced only 1 hour every day. And naturally, they were super. But this man, Michael Jordan, every day would study all the opposition teams, their strategies, make notes. He would do workout. Sincere in his sport. And one day, after this great championship, Olympics happened and he's a Hall of Fame member, one day suddenly announced, I'm giving up basketball. At peak of his career, people said, oh. They said, okay, maybe he wants to retire. And what he said next shocked everyone. He said, I will play baseball. What? Yes, I want to be a baseball player. Baseball is like perverted reflection of cricket. It is. So he said, I will become a baseball player. And all the fans were, what happened to him? Are itna acha basketball khelta hai? Why I want to play baseball? Because my father, he always wanted me to be a baseball player. And he has died. So in his memory, I will become a baseball player. So now what happened? From a super talented in one field, he became an ordinary player in another game. And it gave so much pain to his fans, to himself. He couldn't even make it to the club team. All that glamour, all that talent, useless here. Isn't it? It's like, you know, if Sachin Tendulkar or Virat Kohli, they decide, okay, I will start playing hockey from tomorrow. So like that. So then after 2 years, he said, I'll come back to basketball. And then again, everybody was relieved. So I'm just giving an example of how this is a modern perverted reflection of what Arjuna was telling Krishna, I'll become a beggar. Baiksham api aloke. Krishna said, Klebhyam mas magam partha. This is degrading impotence. You are a kshatriya. So that's what Dhruva Maharaj is saying, I'm a kshatriya. And the perfection of this Varanashram setup is Ata Pumbir Dujasreshta Varanashrama Vibhagasha Sanushtitasya Dharmasya Samsiddhir Haritoshan. So in a Brahminical culture, so now it is the responsibility of the leadership. Because if you see how this Varanashram system got corrupted according to Shastra, according to Bhagavatam, when did the corruption of the Varanashram system happen? Shringi's curse. Shringi was a great Brahmana, powerful. And he cursed Parikshit Maharaj wrongly for a small minor offense. Aho adharma palanam pivunam balim bujamiva. Swamini agamya dasanam dwarapanam shunamiva. This king is a dog. He should be at the gate of the house. I mean, Prabhupada writes in the purport, king is actually a watchdog. So he was technically correct. But it is such impudence and bad manners to call the king a dog. And that's what a young 16-year-old boy is calling. A young boy is calling the mighty, pure devotee, great king, Maharaj Parikshit, as a dog. So this is what happens when we have pride, especially as leadership. If I'm in a leadership position and if I think I'm the master, and then I contemptuously look down upon others, and in my arrogance, I may actually take a devotee away from Krishna, although I'm externally engaging him in services. Sabhandam bhoktum arhati, Shringi says, how can a dog desire to eat from the same plate as the master? So he's criticizing Parikshit Maharaj like that. He uses very strong words. And then he says, no problem, I am there, I have come. Krishna, now is Krishna conscious? See, look at his words. He says, Krishne gati bhagavati, shastra utpatta gaminam, Bhinna Setu Madhyaham Shasmi Pashyatame Batham. Just look at me. Krishna Gati Bhagavati. Krishna has gone back to Godhead. That is why all these upstart kings like Parikshit have come up. Krishna Gati Bhagavati Shastra Utpatta Gaminam. All these upstarts have come up, but don't worry, I am there. Main aa gaya hun. I will take care. Bhinna Setu. And just see my power. Shasmi Pashyatame Batham. Just see what I am going to do now. Iti langita maryadam takshaka saptame hani. In the 7 days, takshaka will come and destroy this king. For this is pure arrogance and false pride. And Shringi, Prabhupada writes in the purport, that Shringi developed these powers because of the patronage of a king like Parikshit Maharaj. Because Parikshit Maharaj was patronizing the Brahminical class. But Shringi's pride made him forget that he has got this power because of Parikshit Maharaj. See, if I am a preacher, I need to remember that whatever I am today is because of Srila Prabhupada's mercy. So it is my service to Srila Prabhupada to ensure that I take care of a devotee I am preaching to and ensure that he is happy. If I am interested in him more than what he can do for the mission, he will eventually do much more for the mission. Many times in the name of missionary service, I may have ulterior motives. But if I'm genuinely interested in that person for who he is, for what will make him feel a sense of contentment and contribution, because everybody in this world has a need for contribution. Nobody comes to ISKCON. Very rarely will people come to ISKCON with bad motives. Krishna is so attractive. Krishna just charms the heart of people. That's why if you see those who come to ISKCON, you will see that sweetness and simplicity in their heart. That innocent desire to please Krishna is so strong in them. You will notice it. Every person who comes, they have this bhakti in them. Krishna is very special. Krishna attracts special souls. So when these devotees come, they don't come with a bad intention. But when we are not able to facilitate services according to their nature, when we are unable to care for them, then a lot of other fallouts of this may come up. And we may be quick to pounce on them and judge them as bad. So therefore, we have to be careful and help devotees discover. And how do we discover our nature? Let's say you have spent some 10, 15 years in the movement and you want to now make a meaningful contribution. Then the simple is, you know, in the outside world they teach how you can discover your career. They teach it should be an intersection of three circles. Now we can derive it for ISKCON setup also. The three circles are what I like to do, what I am good at, and what will give me money or some stability. So I may like to sing, but I'm not good at singing. So that won't come in this circle, this intersection of three circles. So I like to write. I may be good in writing also. Or I can improve, you know, I've got some ability to improve. And I can earn some money for the mission, for the movement, for I can sell some books and make some contribution. So that is like the intersection of the three circles. What I'm good at, what I like to do, and what will give some meaningful contribution. So similarly, each one of us here, we can ask these three questions to ourselves. What I'm good at, or what, you know, I like to do also, where I can improve, like that. And then what will also help. So like that, if we discover our nature, and then we can offer our intention. Our intention is the most important. That Krishna, I want to please you with this. So if that is in the right place, Samsiddhir Haritoshanam is in the right place, then encouraging devotees to discover their nature, according to the guidance of senior devotees who have an understanding of Varnashram setup, and in the absence of a proper Varnashram system, helping devotees, help them consult those who are experts in understanding nature and doing service, and then accordingly engaging them. That way we'll have more devotees and happy devotees. ISKCON leadership, ISKCON GBCA, every 2 years they conduct this Sangha, leadership Sangha. So they have this motto, they have a vision which they make everybody chant and memorize. What is our vision? ISKCON's vision, they make everybody chant loudly, all GBCs, sannyasis, leaders. More devotees, happy devotees. More devotees, happy devotees. So we may, if we really want more devotees and happy devotees, then we need to help them serve according to their nature and be rightly situated. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Any questions or comments or corrections? Yes, Nimai Lila Prabhu.
In the purport, Shri Prabhupada spoke about Brahminical training. Having acknowledged Dhruva Maharaj's position, Prabhupada again he repeats about Brahminical training being given in our movement. So sometimes devotees have concerns that are we thrusting Brahminical training upon everyone who comes to ISKCON? What about the other three tendencies? So maybe you'd like to share some light on that.
I think the foundation, Prabhupada is talking about the foundation of sattva, foundation of goodness, character. Because if you see the Brahminical, when Prabhupada is talking about Brahminical qualifications, he is actually referring to the character, integrity, honesty. Once that is in place, within that, Prabhupada always encouraged devotees with different propensities to serve. So when Prabhupada is emphasizing, it's not thrusting the Brahminical conceptions that we have. It is the principles of Brahminical life. Not the details of, you know, not that everybody should become a Pandit in Shastra. That's not the whole idea. See, there are simple things we can practice. Like I'll give an example. One of our dear friends, Madan Gopal Prabhu. You know, I remember when I was a new Bhakta, one day in the Prasadam serving area, one Brahmachari who was in charge of serving, he behaved badly, spoke something bad. And Madan Gopal Prabhu was sitting next to me. The prasadam was about to start, he just got up and he left. And I saw in his face disapproval. So then I thought he's gone somewhere, but he didn't come back. Then we ate prasad, we went, Then evening I thought he will come, he didn't come. Next day morning he didn't come for breakfast. Lunch also he didn't come. And that day evening he came for prasadam and he was sitting and he was normal the second day, as if nothing had happened. I said, Prabhu, where were you last? You didn't come for prasadam in the dinner, morning, lunch, yesterday also lunch. You didn't eat anything. No, no, I'm okay. Now I'm okay. I'm eating now. So then I went, no, but what happened? Why you didn't come? Where were you? So Shyamananda Prabhu was next to me. Shyamananda said, he fasted because he saw inappropriate behavior, because he is a Brahmana. His showing of protest was by fasting. I said, wow, that is the time I learned. Aisa hota hai Brahman. क्षत्रिय होता तो उठ के दो झापड़ मारता था उसको, वैश्य होता तो निगोशिएट करता था उससे थोड़ा कि यू नो, एंड शूद्र होता तो जाके रोता था किधर जो बैठ के. सो दिस नेचर वी कैन नॉट चेंज. सो व्हेन प्रभुपाद वांटेड अस टू हैव ट्रेनिंग इन क्लीनलीनेस, हाइजीन, फॉर सिंपल थिंग, फॉर एग्जाम्पल मॉडर्न टाइम, व्हाट इज द बिगेस्ट डिस्ट्रैक्शन फॉर डिस्कवरिंग अवर नेचर? सॉरी टू से, इट इज अ स्मार्टफोन. सो इफ वी गिव ट्रेनिंग टू डिवोटीज हाउ टू यूज स्मार्टफोन, देन that is part of brahminical training, that is part of creating brahminical society nowadays. Why, if you see, one of the biggest reasons why devotees are confused or people are confused about their nature is because distractions, and distractions has come in this form of this gadget. This is the most deadly attack of maya in 21st century, the smartphone. You know, there was one lecture of Isolina Radhana Swami Maharaj I was hearing, long old lecture. He is saying that in earlier times, maya was very gross, four regulative principles. But he said, Kali and maya, now in 21st century, they come in subtle forms. Like he gave the example of a thief. Earlier time, thief was very gross. You know, you would have black clothes and some glasses, and you would come, you would steal. But now, a smart, sophisticated, well-dressed, in tie, coat, a 16-year-old boy can hack your computer, take your password and steal lot of thousands of dollars. So he said thief has come in a better form, better, more sophisticated form. Similarly, maya also comes in more sophisticated form in 21st century. So when I heard that class, immediately I understood, that means today maya has come as smartphone. And how it is keeping us distracted constantly. And you are addicted to smartphone if you have two problems. If when you pick up the smartphone, even when you don't have to, and you matlab phone nahi baja fir bhi aapne uthaya dekhne ke liye, that means there is sign of addiction. And secondly, if the phone is next to you and it is not ringing, but suddenly if you feel it is ringing, sometimes you feel like that, are phone baj raha hai, hallucination. So aisa hota hai, you know, you won't believe this. Prabhupada's lecture, Prabhupada, I was surprised yesterday. I was hearing Prabhupada's class, this is the October 1968, Los Angeles. Srila Prabhupada is giving a class, and suddenly there is a mobile ringtone ringing. And I was thinking, are us zamane mein mobile tha kya? I thought maybe my mobile is ringing, but I thought my mobile doesn't have this ringtone. So I started wondering, where is the sound coming from? And then I realized Prabhupada stopped giving class. Then again he started, again that sound started coming. Then I realized it's in the class going on, and nobody saying anything. Everybody, I can't see it, I can hear it. Something is happening, and then again Prabhupada is quiet. Then sound is coming, something like that, as if it's a ringtone. It's not a ringtone, I'm sure, something else, but some sound is coming like that. So after a few minutes, Prabhupada started laughing, a mild laughter, and everybody laughed. I don't know what it was. I still am trying to figure out. Maybe I don't know what it was. Something it was. Some sound was coming, and then Prabhupada laughed. Everybody laughed, and Prabhupada said, this is maya calling. Come, enjoy me. Come, enjoy me. Like we tell people, like Krishna tells, come to Krishna consciousness. Maya is saying. So then I could connect it to a smartphone, which is inviting us. You know, nowadays people are suffering from what is called as nomophobia. Nomophobia is a recognized disease. Like we have claustrophobia, fear of crowd, or hydrophobia, fear of water. For like that, there is nomophobia. Nomo means no, as in no. Mo means mobile phone. So nomo means no mobile phone phobia. People need to have the phone always with them. And this is one of the biggest distractions which keeps us disconnected from ourselves. So if we can work out a strategy for that, then we are creating a brahminical culture. Like I am trying to help, you know, like myself also, like we have Ekadashi tomorrow. So instead of Ekadashi grain fasting, why not fast grain fast, fasting from grains has to be there. But I'm just saying we could also do once in a week fasting from mobile, smartphone. If once in a day, once in a week is very difficult, 24 hours is difficult, we could have 12 hours fasting. Try 6 hours fasting and see how you become so liberated. You feel so happy. So we could try that sense of urgency and the sense of control which the smartphone creates is very non-Brahminical. It's muchi. That's why Gaurang Prabhu, I was so fascinated. He has this old Nokia small piece. And he told me that he has bought 2 more pieces like that and kept it for future in case Nokia stops producing, manufacturing this. After some time, they'll stop because everybody's using smartphone. He said, but I will continue. I've already bought 2 extra. And this smartphone is deadly. And they give this free. I saw your amenities, a nice cartoon. That man is telling the Wi-Fi that you are free, so I'm using you. And that Wi-Fi is telling that man, no, you are free, so I'm using you. So we are using smartphone, but the smartphone is using us. In fact, Gaurang Prabhu in one Brahmacharya class, he was saying that these 4 companies in California, Google, YouTube, Facebook, he said that these 4 or 5 companies ne Brahmacharya ka copy nahi utar diya pura. Pura renounce order ko khatam kar rahe. So it's an extremely powerful thing. Therefore, this is Brahminical culture. If we can train people in how to, not force, but educate people on. See, we have to be relevant. At modern times, mein challenge kya hai? Brahminical life ke liye. Slow life. Pause, batane ka devotees ko. Doing, we have to become human being, not human doing. Always doing things. Always doing. Thoda slow. Fast, sab khatam karna hai. Aisa nahi chalta hai. See, we are not talking about pure devotees. We are talking about ordinary people. Fast, nothing grows fast. Only cancer grows fast. Everything grows organically and naturally. There is a way how things happen in nature. Rain did not come suddenly one day. The clouds gathered in the sky. The summer made way. There is rhythm, harmony, balance, beauty, grace in nature. We need to respect it and align ourselves to this. That is Brahminical life. Not simply, you know, having some these 10 things you do, then you are a Brahmana. It is the principle that Srila Prabhupada wanted to create. And if we can help, you know, and I encourage, like there's one American, I forget the name of that famous psychologist, he's considered as father of American psychology. He said that the pen that writes the story of your life should be held in your own hand. This is a Brahmana. You know, our right now, if you see most of us, the pen that writes our life story is held in somebody else's hand. So if we can practice that, then I think this is our modern times Achilles heel, you know, that smartphone and internet, Wi-Fi, very deadly. It is destroying families. Hare Krishna. Let's stop here. Thank you very much. Gantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.